How the economy accomplishes the political aims of Plato: no change, stasis, death, establishment of the rule of hate by legitimating rank by means of market quantification, assigning our rank by what we can claim in the market for our energy, human energy. We've taken time with the economy during our Proudhon readings in order to get past the house of mirrors power has erected around us and to hopefully see more clearly the sense in which the economy is a confidence trick and to see why the left narrative that endless accumulation is the point of it is inaccurate, and therefore hopefully to see that its fundamental purpose is political, in order to grant ourselves permission to move on. And what follows on this is seeing its opposite, the uncoerced, natural harmonization of our gifts as we think socially and long for unity. Until Nikola Tesla and Prince provided us with means, unity has been an elusive goal, seldom aspired to as a reality that's global. As the totalitarian scheme of class, of the rulers, quote unquote, is set to stop us claiming for ourselves the global turf. And while Plato's misguided system of class is responsible for the rule of hate coming to dominate over us, it may be that Popper is right to suggest that even Plato's underlying motive was unity, in a sense, although only of the so-called master race, and that while the rule of hate was the inevitable result, which we can see, thanks to Alice, of the attempt to realize Plato's vision of the Republic, Plato himself was sincere, argues Karl Popper, in wanting to stop the rulers from continuously slaughtering themselves. Plato's was a child's logic. With the lens of Alice, we can clearly see the curse of abandonment lodged in him. The child's logic being, they are fighting over social place, status, but as beasts, by which he meant humans, we were included with the beasts, we who did the work, but as beasts, human and otherwise, can be trained to accept the status we assign them, so may we likewise craft the world of citizens. And as we saw, and we'll read again in our Proudhon section of today's show, when we recall, if we get to this, might have to be postponed yet again, but it's right up next. When we recall the peasants are like oxen, quote, from a 20th century Chinese statesman, this thinking is definitive of rule that seeks to institutionalize itself, fix itself in place across the generations. But the strategy, the economy, can only realize the child's logic up to a point. The abandoned child cannot know that stasis is impossible. Life didn't get the memo and cares not about the confused logic of lost children. Proudhon is providing an angle on this when he says that underclass, through its economic mechanisms, quote, society devours itself. One, by the violent and periodical sacrifice of laborers. Two, by the stoppage of the producer's consumption caused by property. The financial shrewdness and rapacity of property is worthy of admiration. Each different name which increase takes affords the proprietor an opportunity to receive it. First, in the form of interest, and second, in the form of profit. For, it says, a part of the income derived from manufacture consists of interest on the capital employed. In France, 20 millions of laborers engaged in all the branches of science, art, and industry produce everything which is useful to man. Their annual wages amount, it is estimated, to 20,000 millions. But in consequence of the right of property and the multifarious forms of increase, premiums, tithes, interests, fines, profits, farm rents, house rents, revenues, emoluments of every nature and description, their products are estimated by the proprietors and employers at 25,000 millions. What does this signify? That the laborers who are obliged to repurchase these products in order to live must either pay five for that which they produce for four or fast one day in five. Unquote. Proudhon's quote illustrates not only that our conversion into money increases power's power over us, but also that it strengthens power's totalitarian hold over us, in that we become, because of it, because of this process of quantification, this money conversion, more tightly and strongly enmeshed within that which oppresses us, making us ever weaker, ever more dependent, as the global state grows ever stronger, having used its economy tool and the strategy of debt to acquire ever greater control of the planetary resources needed to reproduce life. This requirement, dictated by the terms of the market, that we be converted into quantifiable means via our integration into the economy, integrated into networks of obligation and debt, before the leaders or masters, quote unquote, can access and animate us, along with the market requirement imposed on corporate employers that they produce increasing profits for their investors, has led to an exhausted planet and the inevitable condition, as the system of theft, compulsion, conversion, and destruction of finite and or ever more costly resources, as this system ages out, means that this system must succumb to the condition of the falling rate of profit. The falling rate of profit means that within power's capitalism, quote unquote, scheme, it cannot employ enough people-made means to do the clean-up, heal-up work that the earth desperately needs us to be doing. It's important that we face this reality, acknowledge it in our discussions, so that more of us and more quickly will perceive the imperative of delaying no longer. Thanks to Nicola, Prince, and Alice. Our coastline of freedom is in sight. Tread water no more. Tread water time is past, over, done. We see our freedom. Let's kick hard for it.